Welcome to Influential Visions. Here we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. Here is your host, Nathaniel Schooler.
Wow. Well, today I am privileged to be joined by Anna Maria Kochanska, and she is a remote working pioneer who started working remotely long before COVID happened and was the first person in her company back then to do that. And since 2017, she's been a full-time nomad, traveling to more than 40 countries. She's also a self-taught polyglot with 7 languages under her belt, which is pretty amazing, really. And in addition to this, she consults on remote and cross-cultural skills. And Anna promotes digital nomadism and talks about the impact remote work has on local populations, which I'm actually very interested in. And additionally, she advises destinations and organizations on how to attract location-independent professionals and boost emerging nomad destinations. Her work's been featured in various international media outlets, including in Croatia, Cape Verde, Slovenia, Romania, and Spain. So, yeah, welcome, Anna. I really appreciate you taking the time out to join me.
Hi, Nat. Hi, everybody.
Yeah, so I've got a few questions here for you, and we're going to just kind of have a really informal conversation around remote working and the kind of digital nomad space, because I know you know a lot about that. You're present at a lot of events, and you're really quite highly involved in that scene. So the first question I have is remote work just a change of workplace, or rather reinventing the way that we work?
Yeah, and that's a very good question, because the current discussion in the space about remote work is a lot about should we go back to the office, or should we go remotely, or maybe we can decide it, so let's compromise and do hybrid, right? But it basically like focus all the time on the space, like where we are doing, and I think we are really missing here the main point. That because to work remotely, the space is actually for me just the consequence. So this is not the real change. Like because once like the you can work remotely effectively, then you can work anywhere, right? Like it can be in the office, it can be in coffee if that's best for you. It can be in co-working, it can be at home. But the real thing is that remote work, it's actually a part of digital transformation. And that means that we need first to change the mindset. Everybody involved, that means like, you know, managers in the company, people, if you have your own business, then you actually need to establish, I would say, different way of working with your clients, right? So first is mindset, then often processes, because the processes that we have, usually they were designed to work in an office, like the way how we communicate, how we train people, how we motivate them, right? Or even like management, right? How do you lead the team, right? So most of the time that involves like being and seeing people. We don't have like actually the process to do that remotely. Most companies don't have that, like the companies that haven't worked like that before COVID happened. And the first thing is the tools. Like sometimes some companies don't even have like the right tools in place, right? To implement that, like depends, because the really depends on the company, depends where they were before, like COVID pushed us to do that. But like, I don't see that this is basically understood widely. And I think that's why we are having like this conversation, like remote work is not even effective sometimes. That's a lot of people claim that you still need to be in the office, because otherwise, how do you build the culture? A lot of managers, they don't know how to motivate or how to engage. How to help people, right? Or how to even manage the team if they are not in the office. So all that is just like, you know, easier for companies to say, okay, let's go back to the office. But I think this comes from the place that we don't really understand the change that's happening when you go to work fully remote from the office.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that, you know, I've worked remotely for the last 10 years, I suppose, maybe 12 years. So, you know, I'm kind of no stranger to that. And, you know, most of the people that I know, obviously, because I work remotely, most of them work remotely. Obviously, some of them work for big, well, most work for a lot of tech companies. So they're kind of used to, you know, embracing new technologies, right? But yeah, I mean, there's this whole massive thing of, you know, you must return to the office. Like, there's this whole thing about that. And it's like, well, hold on a minute. Like, we're trying to push like a green agenda here. We're trying to push that, and we're trying to reduce carbon emissions. We're trying to reduce basically the issues that we have with the environment and things. And it's like, but we don't want our employees to work remotely. And I find it quite strange. I find it quite weird. And I mean, certainly in the UK, I know a little bit about that, and a lot of the investments that are into office buildings, they will need to change. I mean, eventually people will just, a lot of people already have just said, well, I don't want to work from an office. So I've seen like a trend in office blocks that are, you know, they're getting rid of their offices. I mean, IBM have been doing that for a long time. They've just been selling off the properties, certainly in the UK, like entire office, you know, entire parks, right? Like business parks, they've just sold them off to smaller businesses. So I think there needs to be an evolution, but I think it could be called a revolution, really, when, you know, people need to provide more for housing for people who can't afford houses. And these sorts of challenges, in my opinion, can be solved by more remote working and not less, you know. But I've got another question here for you. So in-person and hybrid work promoters claim that remote work is not efficient enough, and there are times people need to be in the office. Do you think remote work is more or less productive?
Yeah, so that would depend on the situation, really. Because first we need to like to remember that for many people, being in the office was not necessarily as productive, right? Like, for instance, introverted people or people that need to be very focused, and then they had to work in open space. So it was just because the way it was, but it doesn't mean that was the best environment for them. So for those people, like now that they have a change, a possibility to work from home, or they can like, you know, arrange the office how it works for them, their own office, then actually for a lot of those people, and myself, I feel included, I'm more productive because I can focus, nobody disturbs me, right? There is not unnecessary disruptions. So for lots of situations it is. But then, for instance, there are situations where maybe you see something is new, right? Like one situation that can be challenging, if that's, for instance, you are starting a new job. Maybe you haven't changing career or industry, and now you would need to have that training and that transition at home alone, right? If you are not going to home. So that, for instance, can be possibly more challenging than you being surrounded by a team in an office, right? Because you will need to be more independent from the beginning. And that can be actually applied to any situation where something will be either completely new or a big change. Like maybe if you are like very early in your career, right? There are people right now, they just ended the university and that's like their first job. So they never really work in a real office. They could benefit possibly from, you know, some sharing knowledge with in person with people more, that are more experienced, maybe like forming a new team or forming a new company. So those kind of situation, it can be possibly a bit more challenging if you have to do that like alone and at the same time like build something together with people that are actually in different parts of the world. But it's not better and it's not worse. We just have to admit, like I would say, how it is, and then we see how we can work on that better, right? So I still think that there might be situations that, for instance, meeting sometimes in person, like the tech companies that, as you say, they had like this remote working for years, they still do like, you know, this like twice per year retreat where they invite everybody from the company. There can be like special, for instance, I don't know if it's not called retreat, but let's say like meeting where, for instance, you are launching a new product, right? And maybe it's beneficial for the team to be for 1 week together, right? something like that. If you are launching a new company, maybe it would benefit you if you just like, you know, get together with some other entrepreneurs and go for some retreat or go for some co-working, right? And then work in that focused space with those few people for a limited number of time. But I think those situations, they are really very specific and they are not even so many. I would say that maybe also it would be like, if it's completely a new job, then I think it might be worth like to go first to meet the team, maybe to meet your manager or to meet maybe your most important client, like once in person, right? So you build that trust because for many people, it's still important like to see someone at least once. But once you have like the proper setup, once we have like the right process and tools in place, then you can actually go and work remotely. So for 90% of the time, you can be perfectly as effective remotely as in the office, right? But then there is one thing more, like you need to know yourself. And that's on an individual level. You have to know how actually you are the most productive, right? That's something that not even everybody asks themselves in their life because they didn't have the chance if they would always go to the office. It was already designed. They didn't really have any influence on that. So they would just do that. But now that you have more freedom, you also have more responsibility, right? Regarding your productivity, like how you organize your day. And then it's like on every person to understand, am I the most productive in the morning or in the afternoon, right? Am I the most productive if I work myself alone in my room for a week, or maybe I work better from co-working? Because here the reply will vary, right? Depends on the person. There are people that they just don't want to work remotely from their even comfortable apartment because they feel lonely, right? Mm-hmm. If, for instance, your job is creative, I think you may actually benefit from stimuli from different people, from conversations, random interactions, right? Especially for creative, also like maybe networking opportunities. So there may be situations that you have to figure out for exactly for the kind of work you do and for your personality. That probably would also involve like, depends, do you live alone or do you have kids, right? So all that, it's a part of the equation, how you make yourself more productive. And if you want to go even farther than general life balance, because that's also a big part of making the remote work sustainable, because productivity is like seeing that on a smaller scale for me, but on a bigger scale, if you want to work remotely years and maybe even travel and, you know, be productive, like build business or make a career, then you also have to make sure that you also take care of your social life and your health, not only about the work area. So all that, but like assuming that we are working, we first understand how it works and then we find that balance, I think it can be like as effective as in the office. It's just, you know, in different moments, in different way.
Yeah, I share that opinion. Actually, I think it is definitely, it should be really down to the individual, I think, actually. And, you know, I'm just kind of wondering what sort of skills do we need to master in order to work remotely effectively, Anna?
Quite a few things, I would say, but the most important is communication. I think this was also like, you know, always the very important skill, but in remote work, it becomes even more important, right? Because now that we're not gonna see each other, like the proper communication, clear communication, that effective communication is gonna be even more important. And especially in written form, because the future of remote work is actually asynchronous communication, right? Like not a meeting, not Slacks or chats, but like me maybe leaving a message in a project management system and then you connecting in a different time zone and taking that and, you know, like putting that to production or design or whatever you have to do with that. And that involves actually training a lot of people on how to even think in that way and how to communicate in that way. Because right now what happens with the lots of people is that they basically communicate in the same way remotely as if they were in the office. So exactly the same, you know, structure, the same words, the same way. But you don't realize that in the office, you can always make additional questions, right? So if I just didn't understand something or something was not clear, I can just like, you know, knock on the door to the designer or to the account manager or to the finance manager. It's like, say, hey, what is this? Because I'm missing something or I don't know how to proceed. And in 2 minutes, I can get the reply and I can continue, right? But now if I'm working remotely from my home and let's say like my colleague is in Mexico, right? And I got like an email, but that email is not clear. So now what? I have to wait until the next day to communicate with them to clarify the message, right? And that delays the process. So if we are doing that continuously, that we actually not being very effective. And then lots of things in IT, for instance, the delays happen so a lot with miscommunication. It's caused by that, right? Like people didn't really express them clearly. And that involves, for instance, even like using abbreviation, using slang, right? Which we think is obvious for everybody, but it's just us, like it's our small world. Not providing like enough data. Like we often write messages, for instance, from our perspective, how I see it and what I need. But actually the message should be written from the perspective, the person that's gonna receive it, right? So I have to, you know, like leave my own head and put myself like outside and think, okay, if I send that message to Nat and I'm asking him to do something, does he has all the necessary information like to act on that? Like, does he, because I have, but does he, like, because without being in my circle, right? And we don't think about that way, right? Asynchronous communication is like something you have to think. If the person only saw that message that you just sent, can they work on that already without me being there, without us being in the same time zone? How I can express, you know, myself clearly enough to not make that a headache for other people? And that's actually a skill that, you know, it's if people didn't work on that before, it takes actually a long time, right?
It does. It takes a year or two to get better at that. It really does. But and I think for me, putting emojis into an email or a message really helps. Yeah. So I'll write a message, but I'll be like, this is what needs to happen. This is what you need to do, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, thanks, but with a little smiley face. And it's amazing how putting a positive emotion into something that can be, in essence, quite dry, quite sort of, you know, you must do this kind of thing can really help people on the other end to receive it in a positive way. And I didn't realize that until like a couple of years ago, but it's definitely made a big difference to me. But it isn't easy. I mean, this is something that, you know, people work on for years, and multicultural communication is even harder. And I know you're very good at that, right? And that's something that, you know, with different cultures, different languages, it's extremely, extremely difficult. So, yeah. But it's quite an exciting world, really. I mean, you know, you're really into being a digital nomad, right? And you've done that for a long, long time. So it's almost like you've built a community around yourself. And all of these people are digital nomads as well, right? Is that sort of fair to say?
Yes. I mean, so actually we are having like more and more people that are becoming nomads. And there are more and more communities also of nomads or remote workers, because that's not the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. Or than location independent people. And yeah. I think that that's going to grow, right? Because more and more people with them, especially after COVID, that they can work remotely, they want at least to try mm-hmm. to travel at the same time that they work. And then, yeah. Of course, like, you know, because we people are, you know, we always need community, right? Like if you work in the office, then you sort of had it, not necessarily you like it, mm-hmm. but sort of had it.
Yeah.
So now that you actually are on your own, we built our own communities. And I think this is an opportunity to build community that actually fits you and works for your best interest, because now you are free to choose what people actually want to have in that communities, right? They are not around you just because they work for the same company, which like often, okay, apart of the fact that we work for the same company, many people don't really share anything in life. Like it's just like different age, different values, different lifestyle, which is like happen to be randomly right in the same office. Mm-hmm. But in nomad communities, I think we have like, you know, shared values, like though. So all of us wants to travel, for instance, all of us wants to experience more life. Many people want to have like their own business. So they are always learning skills, like how to make that happen. And yeah, we also, all of us, like, you know, need to take care, for instance, about our health, right? Because we need to build also like some routines, like how do we work out, how we eat properly when we travel, mm-hmm. right? So all mm-hmm. that like bring us together and we can actually help each other. So that ecosystem, like when you are leaving an office, because there is also a lot of talk about remote work being lonely. But I think if someone is working remotely and feels lonely, it's because they are doing it wrong, okay? It's not the definition of remote work that you are lonely. You just need to rethink your life and take the responsibility for that. Like, you know, that part, which was like productivity and your social life that maybe to some extent was organized by, you know, by your boss or by your company, now you have to organize that by yourself and you have to really think about that, what suits you better. And we build those communities, like, you know, for social reason, but also to learn from each other and to help each other. And of course, like, you know, traveling with people is also like way more interesting than just traveling by yourself. So that element of fun and socialization is also there.
Yeah, I think it depends on you as a person. I don't like traveling with people. I'd rather travel on my own, to be honest, and meet people where I go, you know. But I think everything, it just depends on the individual, right? And it's really fantastic to be able to kind of do this right now. I mean, it's, you know, I've sort of been on the edge of kind of remote work. Well, been on the edge of digital nomad when I spoke to you before we came on here. And, but I just kind of like having a base, like I don't, because for me, I like to have two screens. I like to have a desk. Yes. I like to have a comfortable chair. Like all of these things that are really important to me. Like I like to have a green screen because I like to have my logo there. So all of these things for me are like, you know, maybe a few years ago, I might have actually done the digital nomad thing. And I sort of, you know, I went on a lot of road trips and I sort of, you know, I went and I did this laptop lifestyle thing and I took my laptop with me. But I just wanted to just have a home, you know, but I think it depends on the people, right? But traveling is just so much fun, right? And that's the thing that you guys kind of have in common with each other, right? So what do you think then? Do you think it is the toughest sort of challenge apart from communication that you have to face when you're remote working?
That's just for me or in general for people?
Both.
For people, because there is lots of surveys done on that, and for most of people is still feeling lonely. So even if I'm saying there are ways to solve that, but this is something difficult for many people, like to do that mm-hmm. in practice, to find that balance between like work and life and to build meaningful connections. That's something that for lots of nomads, that's always like on the top of any, you know, list of challenges that's mm-hmm. there. In remote work particularly, also like any kind of collaboration with colleagues, because not everybody is also like, you know, ready. I think it's with connections, it's because lots of people just will tell you, okay, so just join the nomad communities, you know, find like groups in Meetup, on Facebook, go on conferences, and that's it. But that's not true. That's only part of reality. Because the fact is that you can be surrounded by many people and still feel lonely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So connection is not the same that company. And connection is something that, first of all, you have to choose those people in the right way. And then you have to deepen that connection, right? So it's not that easy. Like you just go to the meetup and that's it. You are not lonely anymore. Like mm-hmm. I wish it was that easy. but you actually have to build meaningful connections, and then you have to keep them, right? Like, you're traveling, you're changing places, people may be changing places, so you have to be more meaningful, more intentional about that. Because you see, like, for instance, if we both of us live in Croatia, right? And maybe we met, I don't know, at the gym, and both of us are going at that gym. So we're going to meet and, like, keep, you know, getting to know each other better and spend time together without, like, really any of us putting any special effort into that, because we just go both to the same gym. So it just happens, right? But now if you and me met, like, traveling in Croatia, but then I left, you see. So now if we don't think about that intentionally, okay, like, but this is great person, we really got along well, we should, like, keep in touch, or maybe we should, like, arrange to meet somewhere else in different country, or we should visit each other. Like, we have to be intentional about that if we want to keep that, right? Because otherwise, what happens for lots of people, and they may not realize at the very beginning, but that's what happens, like, they meet lots of people, but then they go to new place, and it's like every time from scratch, like all the time from zero. Now you get to know a little bit people, but then you leave, and then again the same. But after some time, you may actually find out that actually you don't have, like, real friends, right? You have, you know, lots of people, but, like, keeping the connection and feeling grounded, I think finding that balance, the freedom, like, you can go whenever you want. But you, for instance, mentioned that you like to have a home. Like, actually, lots of nomads have a home, like, I would say, like, home base. They have it somewhere. It doesn't have to be, like, traveling all the time, because every person has to find that balance between the stability of feeling grounded and freedom. And that balance is not in the same place for all of us. Like, maybe I need more freedom and maybe you need more stability. We don't know, but everybody has to find out where is that balance. Is it, like, maybe half, half, or maybe I need to be, like, 9 months in one place and travel only three, or maybe the other way around, right? So finding that balance, I think it's difficult, because you only get that with experience and knowing yourself well. And also you have to be very, I would say, independent in that. You can't really follow other people, because what works for them may not work for you. And we are talking here about, you know, remote work and also, like, nomadism being sustainable, because I don't see it just like a stage of life when you are just having a lot of fun. But if you want to make that sustainable and be, like, you know, satisfied with that life, you really need to find that balance for yourself and figure that out. Like, am I doing that alone or with people? Like, do I have any home base? Where, how much time I spend there? How do I keep the connections in my life that are important? And many people also, like, you know, they probably also had the friendships or, you know, like, important relationship before they even started nomadic. So that can be also a challenge to keep them, right? That people don't, you know, they have different lifestyle. You may diverge in many ways. But if you think that that's a person that, you know, like, builds you up and brings something positive to your life, then you also have to be intentional about, you know, taking time to see that person, right?
So absolutely,
I think that's what matters.
Absolutely. I'm just writing something about this at the moment. It's exactly what I was saying. Like, if you're in a town and you know a few people, you need to go and just say hello to the people that live there that you know, who are your friends, and they'll really remember it. They'll appreciate it as well. But especially if you've gone and you've flown from somewhere else and you've arrived there, they really appreciate that connection, you know. So everything you said is really very relevant to remote working and also to traveling and working. I mean, for me, I find it difficult to work when I'm in a tourist destination. This is the thing that's taken me the longest to get my head around. I tried that in the Alps, when I went skiing to see my mentor, my late mentor, unfortunately, passed away since. But it was extremely difficult to go ski and actually do some work at the same time. And we, you know, and you, it's almost like a battle, because Your brain is like, well, I'm in a holiday destination. Well, man, I'm going to, like, you know, hang out and stuff. But then you're like, no, I've got to do this work. So you're automatically kind of fighting something that is a real, real challenge. And it's, but, like, I'm really pleased to have this conversation. I think it's really, really interesting. And, you know, I look forward to seeing you when you're back in Croatia, or maybe I'll drop by and see you wherever you wherever you are. I don't know what I'm going to do this winter. I'm sort of making plans this winter and I'm kind of, I don't know, thinking a bit about that. But I really appreciate it. And I'm just going to push the outro. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you. Ciao.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.